Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, July 1st already, 2016 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. We, this broadcast and all the others, to my understanding, will not be live on Monday, Independence Day. It's interesting that we are encouraged more and more to refer to it as the 4th and not Independence Day. We should, I think, abandon the soundbite 4th of July for now and just stick to Independence Day. However, you know, not to be dogmatic, just really to draw attention to the reason for the day. Why is the 4th of July significant? And that's an interesting conversation in and of itself, because I like the way John Adams put it when he was reflecting on Independence Day in a letter to Abigail on July 3rd, 1776. I think he put it exceptionally well when he said, John Adams, "The second day of July 1776 will be the most memorable epic in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore." And so I think that John Adams put it exceptionally well. However, we don't celebrate the 2nd of July. And why is that? So the declaration was Declaration of Independence was formally ratified on the 4th, but officially adopted in essence on the 2nd. And so that's why the distinction. But we don't have that conversation. And as I've said in years past, it would be interesting just to have that conversation. If we were able to have that conversation, and fast forward to today, we have the inversion of the mechanics that we were given on our doorstep. We have the opposite. We have worse than what we separated from. In reflection of John Adams' words. So it's interesting, you know, we are essentially celebrating fascism. And speaking of that, have you noticed people should be talking about Aaron Russo's movie, his documentary, Freedom to Fascism? I haven't heard anybody talk about it in a long time. Haven't seen it rattling around. Why do you suppose that is? Rhetorically musing. Very interesting. Instead, in pop culture, we see books like Liberty's Last Stand, a book published this year, 2016, by Stephen Kuntz. And he is a New York Times bestselling author. But it's a fascinating and provocative book one might say, I would say it's hardcore propaganda. Hardcore propaganda. And the Amazon description has this to say: the President of the United States stands on an outdoor stage flanked by powerful members of his administration and party. Television crews are preparing for broadcast. High above the stage, on a nearby rooftop, a decorated sniper adjusts the scope on his rifle. Afterwards, America will never be the same. Jake Grafton and Tom Carmelini suddenly find themselves on the wrong side of the law when a public act of violence throws the country into chaos just before a presidential election. After martial law is declared and rioting begins, Grafton and Carmelini must risk everything to unravel a massive conspiracy and help a new resistance movement rise up against an unimaginable enemy. And so these two, Jake Grafton and Tom Carmelini, are former CIA. One is the former DCI, I believe. Another is just an agent. And the CIA is going to save the country from the president, whose name is just happens to be Satoru. It's a fascinating blurring of the line between fact and fiction. And we've seen this brewing for years in the video game industry and various other propaganda. But you know, if you or I wrote this book, we would have black SUVs with blacked out windows and, you know, men in black hopping out of them, pulling up in our driveways. But Stephen Kuntz wrote this book about the president declaring martial law, and so to speak. And it's interesting, you know. Stephen Kuntz has a naval background and a legal background that are very suspicious, I would say, because he touches on some things that are, I think, intentionally misleading, I would say. You know, the harping on the Islamophobia narrative, for example, instead of emphasizing the fact that to conflate, I think that's one of the things that Barack Obama has said that is true, actually. And it's interesting, you know, that people jump on the bandwagon and try to get all excited about that. I mentioned in his address at the mosque visit recently that he used the word conflate. And that was at his visit to the Islamic Society of Baltimore with Muslim Brotherhood ties. Is interesting. Speaking of the radical Islamic connection, what he said, the way he said it, Barack Obama, at that visit was, since 9/11, but more recently, since the attacks in Paris and San Bernardino, you've seen too often people conflating the horrific acts of terrorism with the beliefs of an entire faith. And of course, recently we've heard inexcusable political rhetoric against Muslim Americans that has no place in our country. And this is true. And this is not by accident. As Jeremy Scahill pointed out 2 years ago on Democracy Now!, there is another generation, yet another generation of Muslims who are growing up believing that they are targeted because of their religion, or their religion is targeted and the United States is a gratuitous enemy. Jeremy Scahill is absolutely right in that point. So it's interesting, conflating the horrific acts of terrorism with the beliefs of an entire faith is a logical fallacy or an error. And so in Stephen Kuntz's book, Liberty's Last Stand, he does that, in essence, among other gross oversimplifications, soundbites, rhetoric, and so forth. So I would imagine that we could expect folks who read that book to come away with a more volatile, aggravated, and antagonistic viewpoint. But not based in fact. Just rhetoric based. Folks won't do their own research, which gets back to that discussion about change and infancy. Perpetual change and infancy seem to go hand in hand, to, you know, paraphrase Santayana. But before I get back to that, I've mentioned Hayek's The Road to Serfdom quite a bit lately, and particularly Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top. I want to touch on a soundbite that I think is very provocative and by the way, Friedrich Hayek wrote The Road to Serfdom in reflection of immediate reflection of World War II. What happened? How did this come to pass? The Road to Serfdom. And I happen to have a 50th anniversary edition with an introduction by Milton Friedman, which is interesting. And you know, one of the anecdotal stories about Milton Friedman that I always think is interesting is Ben Bernanke's speech on Milton Friedman's 90th birthday. It's still on the Federal Reserve's website. I'm looking at it right now. federalreserve.gov/board docs/speeches/. I ought to just throw this in the chat area. Maybe I'll do that. And by the way, I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors. Feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com. I'll just throw it in there. Remarks by Governor Ben Bernanke at the Conference to Honor Milton Friedman, University of Chicago, Chicago, Illinois, November 8, 2002. How did Bernanke conclude that speech? And this is particularly ironic, odious, I would say, to use another John Adams word. But it's just bizarre. Bizarre. Who says things like this? So Bernanke concluded his speech at Milton Friedman's 90th birthday with these words. Beginning in the conclusion, the brilliance of Friedman and Schwartz's work on the Great Depression is not simply the texture of the discussion or the coherence of the point of view. Their work was among the first to use history to address seriously the issues of cause and effect in a complex economic system, the problem of identification. Perhaps no single one of their natural experiments alone is convincing, but altogether and enhanced by the subsequent research of dozens of scholars, they make a powerful case indeed. Well, I'll continue. For practical central bankers, among which I now count myself, Bernanke, that is, Friedman and Schwartz's analysis leaves many lessons. What I take from their work is the idea that monetary forces, particularly if unleashed in a destabilizing direction, can be extremely powerful. The best thing that central bankers can do for the world is to avoid such crises by providing the economy with, in Milton Friedman's words, a, quote, stable monetary background, end quote. For example, as reflected in low and stable inflation. But here is how Bernanke closed his speech. Closed with these words. Let me end my talk by abusing slightly my status as an official representative of the Federal Reserve. I would like to say to Milton and Anna regarding the Great Depression. You're right. We did it. We're very sorry, but thanks to you, we won't do it again. Best wishes for your next 90 years. So a bizarre sort of anecdotal admission of guilt, and then best wishes for the next, for your next 90 years. What does that mean? That was Ben Bernanke's closing at the conference to honor Milton Friedman. And obviously, shortly thereafter, Bernanke presided over the administration that did exactly what he said they'd never do again, which is provocative, wouldn't you say? I would. So that's always struck me as a bit bizarre. Another one of those unsettling coincidences. And speaking of coincidences, I'm always reminded of Congressman Mike Rogers' words in reflection of Benghazi. And that's another subject that we should dig into. I haven't talked about that enough lately. Have you noticed? Maybe I'll touch on that real quick. Have you noticed that amidst all of the talk of Benghazi, there is no discussion of, well, the Operation Fast and Furious aspect of Benghazi, for instance? Why is there no discussion of that? Instead, there is political posturing. There's back and forth. And so that calls to mind the words of not George Santayana, but Giorgio D. Santayana from The Crime of Galileo, published back in 1955. Giorgio D. Santayana, in The Crime of Galileo, wrote these words, which kind of reminds me of the the investigation into Benghazi. I'll give you that quote when we come back. Sounds exactly like what happened and what always happens. Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out! That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Now there's a better way to remove these dangers and odors. It's with the computerized Wave Ventilation Unit that reduces moisture and expels pollutants.
We replaced our old dehumidifier with the Wave Unit, and in only 3 weeks, our basement is dry and the musty smell is gone.
Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance, no buckets of water or filters, and costs only pennies a day to run. Breathe better, live healthier with an affordable, no-maintenance Wave Ventilation Unit. Call 888-618-WAVE, 888-618-WAVE, or visit mydryhome.com, mydryhome.com.
Ride the wave, Wave Home Solutions, for a healthy, comfortable home.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer,
all right, welcome back. Let's compare and contrast some things. I'm going to just string some things together, cobble some things together, perhaps, in very loose fashion. So speaking of the Benghazi investigation, which was more ridiculous nonsense, as is always the case, why hasn't anyone gone to prison over Benghazi yet? Seems many people from, you know, in the White House on down, so to speak, perhaps, which I think is not the right way to phrase that, but just to get the concept out there, there is this political posturing. Democrats report on Benghazi attack. Hillary Clinton was active and engaged. It's interesting. Speaking of the coverage of this subject, you know, the report released Monday by the minority members of the House Select Committee tasked with investigating the events at the outpost, because remember, it was an outpost 500 or 600 miles from the embassy, anything really of any import or substance. And so what was happening there? That should be the conversation. The investigation, the report was really fairly uneventful and uninformative. So it's interesting to that end. Paul Dewey wrote an article published over at Medium.com, and he is a mainstream news guy. But the title of his article is it any wonder people think media is biased? And he has screenshots of CNN and Fox News coverage of the report. And the CNN caption is Benghazi investigation. House panel finds no new evidence of Clinton wrongdoing. Fox News caption is Benghazi report faults Clinton, Obama for pushing false narrative about video. See, the real problem here though is that there is no substantive discussion about what was happening, what was going on. That's lost in the discussion. We've completely lost touch with that. And that's deeply disturbing, because if we would talk about what happened, then I think everyone who was involved would be culpable, and that would just be kind of patently obvious from Obama, Clinton on down, so to speak, the entire chain of command. Whoever was involved would escape this, or would cease to escape through plausible deniability, so to speak. Anyway, in Paul Dewey's article, he has screenshots of clipped together of various headlines. House Benghazi report slams administration response to attacks. House Benghazi report finds no new evidence of wrongdoing by Hillary Clinton. GOP report, U.S. failed to protect Americans in Benghazi, et cetera, et cetera. And the NPR coverage was really no different. So Hillary Clinton was active and engaged, according to NPR. So anyway, I'll give you the quote and kind of a synopsis on that when we come back, and we'll move on from there. Stick around, more right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically, and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN, and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's N-U-M-A-N-N-A, republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. There's more money in treating symptoms. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Let's get to the point here. So NPR's coverage of the report on the House Select Committee's investigation of Benghazi, and again, remember, it was an outpost to the embassy about 500 or 600 miles from the embassy. And that is a point that's been lost. What was going on there? That should be the focus of mainstream news coverage, because if we would focus on that, we could dispense with the WWF good theater of squabbling over this or that. You know, well, we've lost sight of that important issue, that important point. What was happening? That would clearly leave everyone involved on the periphery and directly culpable. No one goes to prison for anything these days. All of the crimes that are committed, the crimes of empire, seem to just go on expected and almost unnoticed. It's a yawning state that we seem to kind of be perpetually in. Anyway, the NPR coverage, Democrats report on Benghazi attack, Hillary Clinton was active and engaged. That's not good. See, because we've lost sight of what was happening, now we're arguing, was she involved? Was she not involved? You know, there were, you know, military is faulted for its response or lack of response, and, you know, but Hillary was trying to do something. There was no, there was no request for increased security officially made, and et cetera, et cetera. But what was happening there at the outpost to the embassy? There is no discussion of that. That's what the discussion should center around. So anyway, the 339-page minority report labels the investigation as being partisan and accuses the Republican members of the committee of using the two-year probe as a tool to attack their political foes. And so it's good theater. And in response, Select Committee on Benghazi Press Secretary Matt Wolking pushed back in a statement accusing Democrats of being the ones guilty of obsession. When it came to the investigation, he, in his statement, Matt Wolking said, Benghazi Committee Democrats' obsession with the former Secretary of State is on full display. For over 2 years, they refused to participate in the majority's serious, fact-centered investigation. The dishonest Democrats on this committee falsely claimed everything had been asked and answered. They said the committee had found absolutely nothing new. If that's changed, they should come clean and admit it. If not, everyone can ignore their rehashed partisan talking points defending their endorsed candidate for president. And so really what we see is exactly what Giorgio Santayana wrote in the Crime of Galileo, that being the working of great administrations is mainly the result of a vast mass of routine, petty malice, self-interest, carelessness, and sheer mistake. Only a residual fraction is thought. To try to look into them is as unprofitable as to stare at the wall of Plato's cave. I think those are the operative words, really kind of in the post 9/11 era, generally speaking. That sentiment seems to categorize and typify just about everything that we see happening these days. Every investigation is, I mean, it's always been that way, but at least there was some scrutiny applied to the committees and the special committees and their investigations. They've always been hijacked and rigged. Certainly in, from the 20th century forward, seen that over and over again. You know, one of the best examples is perhaps the McCormick-Dickstein Committee. And I've mentioned how, you know, people know that Smedley Butler blew the whistle on the fascist conspiracy, but few people know that the McCormick-Dickstein Committee suppressed and redacted a great deal, and obviously the most scandalous details of Smedley Butler's testimony to Congress. Why did that happen? Well, because as John Spivak pointed out in his article series in 1935, the conspirators were implicated directly by Smedley Butler's testimony. And as John Spivak put it, throughout its investigation of Nazi, fascist, and communist activities, the committee has been careful the McCormick-Dickstein Committee, that is, not to involve certain financial interests such as J.P. Morgan and Company, Kuhn Loeb and Company, Felix Warburg, head of the Kuhn Loeb Banking House, virtually dominates it, as well as the American Jewish Committee, a powerful organization active in fighting the spread of anti-Semitism. The American Jewish Committee is controlled by wealthy Jews. However, it has a large following among lower and middle class Jews who are not aware of the maneuverings of the leadership for its own economic interests. The zeal of the leaders in fighting anti-Semitism is tempered by the financial interest of some of them in the United States and in Nazi Germany, and by the active participation of some of them in fascist organizations in this country. Shortly after the Dickstein Committee was empowered by Congress to investigate subversive, quote-unquote, activities, leaders of the American Jewish Committee began to steer the Congressional Committee's investigations. In the course of this steering, information was suppressed, which reflected upon leading bankers, as well as information of fascist organizations in which they were interested. These are the words of John Spivak in his article series, and he went deep into the mechanics of the McCormick-Dickstein Committee and the suppression of the truth. So just to kind of bring that to a point, Spivak wrote this, instead of actually seeking evidence of fascist organizations and who are behind them, the Congressional Committee ignored fascism until its menace here was thrust upon them, and then suppressed vital evidence regarding it. The reason? Wall Street interests such as Morgan's were involved, which are tied up with the Warburg interests, which dominate the American Jewish Committee without the knowledge of the overwhelming majority of its membership. In the course of these articles, I shall show, Spivak wrote, the Dickstein Committee refuses to explain why it suppressed evidence of fascist organizations and of fascist movements, and a number of other points, the interest specifically, including the fact that General Butler named a fascist organization in which some leaders of the American Jewish Committee are active, and that that testimony was suppressed. He named the leadership. That was suppressed. And a number of other groups that were involved. And, it was shocking. The most shocking and scandalous details of the coup were redacted and suppressed. So why? And obviously it's because it implicated the conspirators. Smedley Butler's testimony did. So these committees and their investigations, you come forward and think about all of the crimes of empire that have been committed in the 20th and 21st centuries, for example. And, the 9/11 Commission says that the report is garbage, paraphrasing. This is not a surprise, but I think Giorgio Santayana's words are apropos in this case. Anyway, so that's Benghazi. Moving on, I want to pick on Donald Trump again for a second. Not really. I'm picking on America. We are here. We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. We have been conditioned to misbehave, to remain in a perpetually infantile state, and therefore we need masters. I like Edward Abbey's words. This is pinned at the top of the Road Warrior Radio Facebook page currently, and I will there's a link to that. That's Edward Abbey's words. So, Edward Abbey, if America could be, and speaking of, you know, this kind of in anticipation of Independence Day, this is the American dream. This is independence. If America could be once again a nation of self-reliant farmers, craftsmen, hunters, ranchers, and artists, then the rich would have little power to dominate others, neither to serve nor to rule. That was the American dream. I think Edward Abbey was absolutely right. Speaking of Edward Abbey, some of his other remarks: grown men do not need leaders. And of course, speaking of Independence Day and, you know, hearkening back to the founding, you know, the American Revolutionary era, so to speak, Edward Abbey said, "A patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government," which seems to be, that should be the prevailing mindset of the patriot in the age of the administrative state. And even as that is kind of the administrative state is sunsetting and being eclipsed by the technocratic regime, what the the pieces, the powers and functions that the administrative state welded together, those disparate little things, that great booming, buzzing confusion that Richard N. Gardner quoted William James as saying back in 1974 in Gardner's Hard Road to World Order, published in the Foreign Affairs Quarterly Publication periodical, CFR's publication. That is being welded together now. All of those disparate, chaotic mechanisms are being welded together by the technocrats. But they're getting rid of people because people are messy and inefficient. I like the way that Alan Watt used to say that. People are messy, slow, inefficient. They make, you know, they're error prone. So the technocrats, the experts, and who decides they're experts? Oh, they do, but we don't talk about that. They make their think tanks. They run themselves through their mills and give themselves shiny little badges. And they fancy themselves experts so that they can tell you in white coat fashion that this is the data. We have queried the data. The data has spoken. This is what it says. So this is what we're doing. And science as a religion, scientism, is the new religion of the day. So we listen to these would-be experts and there is no challenge to what they say. It's interesting. But if we would think for ourselves, we would return to sanity and sensibility, things would be different. So remember, de Tocqueville observed back in 1831, born under another sky, placed in the middle of an always moving scene, himself driven by the irresistible torrent which sweeps along everything that surrounds him, the American has no time to tie himself to anything. He grows accustomed to naught but change and concludes by viewing it as the natural state of man. He feels a need for it. Even more, he loves it. For instability, instead of occurring to him in the form of disasters, seems to give birth to nothing around him but wonders. That was Alexis de Tocqueville in 1831, his observation. But remember, the Bible warns us, Proverbs 24, 21, and 22, do not associate with those who are given to change, Barack Obama and company, for their calamity will rise suddenly. And speaking of change, remember Santayana's words? Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve, and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Are we in a state of perpetual infancy in America? And to conclude, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. We need to remember the past, not in historical revisionist fashion, but in truth, and then we might understand Edward Abbey's words, if America can be once again a nation of self-reliant farmers, craftsmen, hunters, ranchers, and artists, then we would be observing the American dream. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family. Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutriMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Question. I say not in historical revisionist fashion, but in truth. Whose truth? History as it actually unfolded, not the opportunistic historical revisionist version of things, conveniently leaving out certain details while conveniently emphasizing others. The Benghazi nonsense is a perfect example. We're not hearing about what actually happened. We're hearing political posturing about who may or may not be culpable or to blame for the death of Ambassador Chris Stevens and the others, but we're not talking about what actually happened. We are actually being encouraged and persuaded away from that, specifically, kind of implicitly and indirectly, of course. No one's saying don't focus on that. But since there's so much political posturing and so much back and forth, Democrat, Republican, which is all worthless chatter, worthless, mindless chatter, that activity moves us away from the real talk of what was happening. Because if we would focus on that, who was guilty and who should be brought to account or called to account for what happened would be self-evident. But we can't have that. So again, Giorgio De Santayana's words from The Crime of Galileo come to mind. The working of great administrations is mainly the result of a vast mass of routine, petty malice, self-interest, carelessness, and sheer mistake. Only a residual fraction is thought to try to look into them. These committees, for example, and their investigations is as unprofitable as to stare at the wall of Plato's cave. So the emphasis really of today's broadcast should be kind of on the, in anticipation of Independence Day, concepts that brought the our founding documents, so to speak, to bear. And, you know, that's interesting. I have a different view on these things. I think it'd be good, as I've said, I think, you know, it'd be great if people didn't vote. If everyone stopped voting. What is he talking about? I think it would be great if we got rid of the founding documents, Declaration, Constitution, Bill of Rights. What? What is he talking about? That sounds crazy. That's crazy talk. Well, I'll explain those things when we come back. I'll explain what I mean by that. Do I really think we should do that? No, not really. But I'll explain at the top of the second hour. Stick around, more coming up right after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.